Welcome to Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators with Jordan Donnell. This is a safe place to learn about women's health and sexual wellness. I'm your host, Jordan Donnell, physician assistant, women's sexual health educator, and intimacy coach. On today's episode, we have a special guest joining us to talk all about diet and sex. Did you know that what you are eating and putting into your body can affect your desires, your natural secretions, your blood flow, all of that? Today, Christine is going to tell us all kinds of foods that you want to make sure you incorporate and what to avoid to make sure that you are having the best sex possible. Before we get into today's episode, I want to know, have you been feeling like your intimacy is a little bland? It could use a little spicing up. Are you wanting to have better sex? Then I have the perfect thing for you. I just dropped my free 5 ways to improve your intimacy. But here's the kicker. It is only available for a short amount of time. If you are wanting to improve your intimacy and have better sex, then this is for you. To watch my 5 ways to improve your intimacy, go to intimacy.jordandonnell.com. You are going to have your mind blown. Joining me today is Christine DeLager. She is a licensed acupuncturist and herbalist who specializes in sexual health. Acupuncture is great for sexual function, but to address the underlying mechanics of consistently great sex, diet is key. For this reason, she works with patients to develop dietary habits that support their sexual goals. Christine holds a master's degree in acupuncture, traditional Chinese medicine, and counseling. During her education, she studied Chinese dietary therapy and earned a certification as a holistic nutritional counselor. Early in her practice, she treated numerous men for erectile issues with acupuncture who ended up having significant improvements in sexual satisfaction. After seeing how meaningful this improvement was in their lives, she specialized in sexual health, expanding her practice to all those who seek it. She wanted to do more to help them connect with their partners and bring joy to their relationships. Christine, would you like to go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Christine DeLager. I am a licensed acupuncturist in private practice, specializing in sexual health. And I recently published my book, Diet for Great Sex, Food for Male and Female Sexual Health.
I love that. Can you tell us what inspired you to write that book?
Well, I've always been obsessed with food. I'm a foodie. I love to cook. I love to, you know, photograph food. But more importantly, I've always had this belief that so much of health can be addressed with the food that we eat. And I, in that passion, I've gotten training in nutrition, in, you know, Chinese dietary therapy. I studied to be a research scientist when I was an undergraduate. So I kind of brought all of that knowledge of research into it. And I really wanted to see what science had to say about this relationship between food and this entire trifecta of great sex, blood flow to the penis and vagina and clitoris, nerve conduction, and balance of sex hormones. And so that's what the whole book's about.
I love that. And I feel like diet, I'm a huge believer that diet is important for all types of things, just overall health. But definitely from a sex standpoint, I can see where diet would make a huge difference. So how does diet affect our sex lives?
So let's take it as an example, leafy greens, because leafy greens are one of the absolute best things you can eat for great sex. So first of all, leafy greens have been shown in research to reduce cortisol. And cortisol is a stress hormone that sabotages testosterone. And testosterone, of course, is not just important for male sexual function. It's important for female libido and pretty much all aspects of sexual health for us as well. Leafy greens are loaded with antioxidants. And one of the biggest complaints that I have from my female patients is difficulty achieving orgasm. And what all those antioxidants do is they protect nerves against oxidative stress. They help repair nerve damage. And what that does is that helps speed and strengthen nerve signals of pleasure to and from the genitals. So what that translates to is better lubrication, better libido, better pleasure signals, and a better orgasm altogether. And then thirdly, leafy greens are loaded with phytonutrients, which promote vascular health. They're loaded with potassium, which will improve the elasticity of blood vessels and soften that delicate inner lining of blood vessels leading to the clitoris and vagina. And they also promote vascular health in other ways. They're high in naturally occurring nitrates, which also promote vascular health. And they actually, even in the short term, dilate those blood vessels for more blood flow within a couple hours of eating them. So that's just an example. The foods we eat can basically sabotage our sex hormones, or they can encourage them. They can stiffen blood vessels, or they can help make them bring, you know, more blood flow. They can strengthen nerve conduction, or they can actually make them slower and more sluggish. And there's a very direct relationship between the food we eat and all three of these dimensions. And there's a lot of science to support that.
Absolutely. It looks like I'm going straight to the grocery store to buy a big old bag of leafy greens. This I can see I work in primary care and fertility, but primary care for the concept of this. Diet is important for blood pressure, heart conditions, diabetes, and all of that has an impact on your blood vessels and your nerves. And so I can totally see from that standpoint how it's all related. So when it comes to women's sexual function, it affects your natural lubrication, your blood flow, and your nerve conduction, ultimately leading to better orgasms. Is there anything else with women's sexual function that diet really plays a role in?
Yeah. So when we balance our sex hormones, that helps to optimize libido. And that is number two, I would say. Actually, I don't know. They're in kind of in competition for number one and number two, as the biggest issues that my female patients come in wanting to address is libido and orgasm, you know, and then followed by lubrication, I would say. But those are pretty big issues, all of which can be addressed with diet.
Yeah. And I know, like, as women age and become menopausal, a lot of times their estrogen drops. And that also has an impact on your natural lubrication. And so eating foods that help promote natural estrogen production can be beneficial. What are, like, your, besides leafy greens, what is another important recommendation for women to make when it comes to diet changes?
Well, let me tell you something about blood flow, because this is a very important concept. All the foods that we eat to support this process, they have to address blood flow, not only because it you know, helps with sexual pleasure. I mean, it does. Women become engorged in the clitoris, and it makes the clitoris more sensitive to the touch. It helps with other things too. Lubrication is secondary to blood flow. So you need blood flow in order to have lubrication. So the foods that we eat really have to promote that. Besides leafy greens, you've got a whole other category of foods which will, in the short term and long term, promote better blood flow. So you've got your nitrate-rich foods like beets, all those foods that athletes use, for example, to increase performance. They are also useful in the bedroom too, because they improve stamina, they improve the way your body utilizes oxygen, and they actually dilate blood vessels to actually bring more blood flow to the genitals. In that category, we have things like beets, we have things like celery, we have things like cabbage and cruciferous. But another thing that's really important, I would say, is potassium. That we could have a whole discussion on potassium in general. We don't get enough of it, and it's something that we have to make a conscious effort to get into our diets. You know, human beings, we used to take in about 10 times as much potassium as sodium, and now it's just the opposite. We take in about 10 times as much sodium from all of our processed diets as potassium. What this does is a number of things. It wreaks havoc on those blood vessels leading to the clitoris and vagina. and stiffens them. It promotes these vascular calcifications, this lack of it, because first of all, all the extra salt makes your kidneys have to flush out potassium with it in order to deal with all the salt. And then it's forced to conserve potassium in other ways. And the big victim here is your blood vessels. And potassium on its own can offset some of those negative effects on your blood vessels of salt, but it has its own benefits all on its own. There's not a big list of things that have a lot of potassium in it, though. We're talking about, you know, the highest ones have about 20% of your daily potassium for a serving. So if you eat a baked potato with the skin on, you'll get about 20% of your daily potassium. Same with a yam, but about 40% of that potassium is in the skin. So you have to eat it with the skin on to really maximize your benefits. And then you've got your oranges and your mangoes and your banana and your leafy greens. But other than that, not a whole lot of foods have a whole lot of potassium in them. So it's something that you have to say, okay, I'm going to make this part of my shopping list every week and have this at least a couple times a day, a couple of servings of these high potassium foods.
So I've had a handful of patients that come into office telling me that they are taking potassium supplement. How much is too much? Like, would you ever recommend supplementing with a pill, or would you recommend just getting it from your diet?
Because of the fact that you can certainly overdose on potassium, I recommend getting it from food. The other thing is this: minerals in our body compete for binding sites. So I've actually seen people who take, you know, a small amount of magnesium and end up with signs of hypocalcemia, numb lips, a heart rate that just like drops, and all of those minerals, if you take excess of one, it can inadvertently cause a deficiency in the other. And so things like iron competes with calcium, for example. Zinc competes with magnesium. They compete. And so you really want to get a nice balance of it. If you eat a baked potato, you're going to be getting a nice balance of minerals. Whereas if you take a supplement, you're going to be getting a lot of one mineral.
Yeah, and that was always my biggest concern with patients, is overdosing on potassium, because too much potassium can stop your heart. And I mean, unfortunately, at home, you just don't know how much is too much. And a lot of patients think a little is good, so more is always better, which is not the case. And I think that getting your nutrients from diet is very important. How did you discover these diet modifications to improve sexual function?
Honestly, I pored over thousands of studies. I basically spent countless hours just looking at research. And so the only things I really included in the book were things that had scientific research to back it up and that have been measured. And fortunately, they have. Some of them have been measured directly. We know that antioxidants improve sexual health in type 2 diabetics, for example. We know that the speed of those nerve signals are stronger and faster with antioxidant supplementation. And we also know that antioxidants will help the patients who take them, who have type 2 diabetes, for example, report greater sexual satisfaction. Some of them are more indirect. Like, we know that blood flow is good for sexual health. We know that it improves all dimensions of satisfaction. And we know that these foods improve blood flow. So it's like you have to go two steps in order to get there. Does that make sense?
That definitely makes sense. So when it comes to antioxidants in the fertility world, we actually recommend them a lot of times for men to improve their sperm quality and function. And we really just don't have an easy way to get all of this stuff into our diets. What are some tricks to do that?
Honestly, you really have to eat a whole lot of fresh fruits and vegetables. But there are some powerhouses of antioxidants, so you have choices with which fruits you eat. It's really easy to go a whole day and not eat any if you're not making a conscious effort, but there's some that you can really focus on. So spinach is a powerhouse of antioxidants. Berries are a powerhouse of antioxidants. One very important, lovely food that is very close to my heart are mushrooms. I love mushrooms. They're loaded with antioxidants. And not only that, but they're loaded with other benefits to sex. They speed nerve conduction. They help repair nerve damage. They promote cardiovascular health, blood flow, hormonal balance, optimal testosterone. And each mushroom is really unique in what it brings to the table. But the coolest thing about all of them is the research that I saw on how they benefit the body. So mushrooms have the capability to actually improve the microbiome, which is so fascinating to me. And each mushroom kind of acts on different particular species in the gut. But even your white button mushroom was found in research to improve the biodiversity of the microbes in our digestive tract, improving beneficial species and reducing more harmful species. So really, really fascinating, amazing contribution to sexuality.
That is so interesting. I never knew that about mushrooms. Do you like alternate or rotate your mushrooms? Do you take like a special mushroom supplement? Because I know that there's a bunch of like different teas with mushrooms in there. Are those the type of things that you should use, or just go to Costco and get some mushrooms?
So Host Defense is a really nice brand of supplements if you just plain don't like mushrooms. But teas, I love chaga. Chaga is a fungus that grows on the bark of birch trees. And it's these woody little chunks, and you boil them. You can actually reuse them multiple times. And it makes this liquid that looks kind of like coffee, which is probably one of the reasons why it was used as a coffee substitute after World War II. And it has a nice vanilla aroma. It's loaded with antioxidants. It's anti-inflammatory. It's been shown to be antiviral. And it's a great way to get mushrooms without actually eating them, because some of my patients just don't like them. But I do vary them because each of them has a unique benefit for sure. Things like lion's mane, it's one of those things where it's renowned for its ability to repair nerve damage and actually help regrow nerves. But it also tastes amazing in a spaghetti sauce. So you chop it up, it has a really nice flavor. You can use it. It's very versatile. So I always throw in some lion's mane. I throw in some oyster mushrooms when I'm cooking like a pot of sauce. I might throw in something else too, but they're really they have a nice flavor. So that kind of determines how I use mushrooms as well.
In your book, do you have a diet plan that specifically lays out like this is what you should do, or do you have a list of suggestions for each meal? How do you incorporate this into your diet?
So there's some general guidelines, and there's also a sample menu just to give people an idea of the sort of meals that would fit nicely. But it's about balance. So I have one recipe in there that like a shawarma steak and mushroom tacos, and that wouldn't be good for our plant-based readers. But there's only one meat recipe in there in the whole thing, because we in general need to really focus on reducing our fat intake. But you wouldn't be wanting to eat that every single night anyways. You'd be balancing it. You want to look at the entire week, not just one meal. So some of your meals are going to be way less fat. Others are going to be a little bit more fat. But when you look at the sum of your meals over the course of a week, you want them to kind of fit in there. So it gives a sample week menu, as well as a sample date night menu. And that menu contains all of the categories of foods that have been shown in research to have short-term benefits. So for example, let's say you're going out on a date and you're going to be getting busy later on in the evening. Are you going to want to have chicken Alfredo? No, you're not going to want to have chicken Alfredo with tiramisu. Lovely, tasty meal. But, you know, all that fat in it is going to have an immediate stiffening effect on blood vessels, bringing less blood flow. All the salt is going to have the same effect. The high sugar in the dessert is going to tank testosterone in the short term. And so there are alternatives. So for example, a high omega-3 fat meal like salmon or like walnuts for plant-based eaters will actually have the opposite effect on blood vessels. They'll actually help promote more blood flow, and the blood vessels are measurably, according to research, more elastic and more pliable. So there we have a dessert that's going to stay away from our refined sugars to keep our testosterone high. And we're going to include some of those other things that have been known in research to help blood flow in the short term, like potassium-rich foods, like polyphenol-rich foods. So you can create an entire meal based on all of those things. And it's not, I wouldn't say it's going to be like a Viagra pill, according to the feedback I've gotten from my patients, but it's noticeable. It's subtle, noticeable. And the longer you eat like that, the more benefits you get for sure.
How long do you need to eat kind of following this diet before you see improvements?
Honestly, not as long as you would think. It does depend on your baseline. So if I have a patient who's in the office and they're, say, in their 30s, and they say, oh, I've just noticed a slight decline in pleasure or, you know, erectile strength if it's a male patient, then it's going to be a lot quicker results than if I have somebody who comes in who says they haven't had an erection in 10 years. The length of time it takes is going to be different depending on how occluded those arteries in the genitals are, or if they're not occluded at all, that sort of thing, if a patient has type 2 diabetes. But most of my patients, I would say, if they change their diet for 1 week, they will report back that they have better sex.
That's awesome. I definitely expected you to say like 3 to 6 months of doing this at minimum before you see a difference. Although, like, I know for me, my body doesn't tolerate gluten, dairy, eggs very well. And if I eat something, it takes like probably 48 hours for me to notice resolution after I eat something that my body doesn't like. So I guess that would make sense that within a week I could see a difference if I followed that diet.
Yeah, because your hormones, I mean, certain parts of your hormones actually respond quite quickly to treatment. So refined sugars are one of those things that very rapidly disrupt hormones. And so taking those out of the picture for even a week can really help. It can really help with just balance things and help with in the bedroom.
I love that. Do you work with a lot of patients who have diabetes and like high blood pressure and things that affect their sex drive?
I've definitely worked with a fair number of patients. Yeah. Yeah. I would say, I wouldn't say half or even a quarter, but I would say a good portion of my patients definitely have type 2 diabetes, and some of them have diabetic neuropathy. And so when they have diabetic neuropathy, we know that there's stuff going on with nerve conduction, strength, and speed, you know?
Yeah, I wish that there was just more information for the general public about diet. And this seems to be kind of a recurring theme in my podcast and something that I preach to patients a lot. Like, a healthy, real food diet makes a huge difference in preventing diseases and really feeling your best. And I just wish that like there was better access to all that information.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. Because people don't think about what you eat affecting your sex life. Even my patients that I treat for musculoskeletal issues, I address their diet, because if you want to improve blood flow to your tissues, diet can definitely help with that. So it indirectly really does affect things like back pain and things like that.
That so makes sense. Totally makes sense. Are there any foods that are really bad for sex?
Yeah. So about 30 minutes after a salt-rich meal, blood vessels are measurably stiffer, which means that they're not able to deliver as much blood flow. But that effect doesn't just go away after the salt wears off. There's a cumulative damage to those blood vessels. So our salty, processed, fatty diets are definitely not great for sex. Certain fats are better than others, you know, so certainly like your PUFAs, your, you know, polyunsaturated fatty acids, your MUFAs, your omega-3 fats, those are all way better. And there are a lot of studies to show that. Your high sugar, again, really disrupts your hormones. And it's not just your sex hormone. So if you're eating a high processed sugar diet, it's going to affect your insulin sensitivity. It's going to affect leptin sensitivity. And some people, that's what tells us when we're full. And when that happens, then in turn, that affects sex hormones. So everything is interconnected. It's very rare that patients have one hormone out of balance. in practice, they tend to have a whole slew of hormones that are out of whack. So sugar, salt, fat, and just processed foods in general should be left alone when possible. I mean, sorry, I'm not saying don't eat fat. Don't leave alone fat. Just keep it in mind and choose better fats. Your avocados, your salmon, your walnuts, that sort of thing.
Yeah, the healthier fats rather than the canola oil processed food fats.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly.
Well, this has been so informational. I definitely need to create a new grocery list after this. If the listeners were to take one thing away from today's episode, what would you want it to be?
Be kind to your bodies and start early. And for the best sex for the longest amount of time, start early taking care of those arteries and nerves leading to and from the genitals.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. Where can the listeners find you at?
I am on social media at Diet for Great Sex. My website is dietforgreatsex.com and my book is on Amazon.
Love it. And I will put all those links in the show notes. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
This episode is sponsored by Pure Romance by Jordan Jones, offering top bath and beauty products and relationship enhancement items. Check out the link in the bio to start shopping today. By shopping, you are supporting this podcast. Thank you for joining today and continuing to bring awareness to women's health. If you love the show, please subscribe so you never miss another episode and leave a review for others to see. If you want to see me on the daily, you can check out my bio for links to all my pages. Be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Thanks again and see you next episode.